Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And now on to the so-called Common Defense Bill in Massachusetts. The shooting death of Trayvon Martin, an unarmed 17-year-old Florida boy, by a Crime Watch volunteer has reignited the debate about so-called stand-your-ground laws. Until a few years ago, in all 50 states, the law was straightforward. If you were threatened but could safely retreat, you had a duty to do so.
But now, at least 20 states, led by Florida, have passed the so-called Stand Your Ground laws, which allow citizens to use deadly force in the face of great bodily injury or death in any place they have a right to be. Here in Massachusetts, there's an effort underway to pass such a law, and it's led by State Senator Stephen Brewer, a Democrat from Barry.
We wanted to talk to Senator Brewer about why he thinks this is a good idea, especially in the wake of the Trayvon Martin killing. But Senator Brewer's office said he was unavailable. Stephen Brewer filed his bill on behalf of the Gun Owners Action League, which is an arm of the National Rifle Association. Jim Wallace is executive director and joins us now. Jim Wallace, good to have you.
Anthony, always good to be on.
So, Mr. Wallace, it does seem that the killing of Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black boy who was carrying a box of Skittles, is exactly the kind of tragic outcome that this kind of law would encourage. Why is it a good idea?
I disagree with the premise of the whole statement right there. It has nothing to do with that situation. Unfortunately, we have no recognition in Massachusetts law of a right to self-defense outside of your home. Really, all we were looking for with this legislation is it's tough enough to be put in a position where you have to protect your life or the life of a loved one, any place you have the right to be. But if you are forced into that position, you certainly should not have to worry about ruining your life through prosecution. And also, one of the most important parts of the legislation here is that in the event that you are put in a situation where you have to use force to defend your life, that you cannot be sued by your attacker. In Massachusetts, currently, an attacker can do that.
Well, Mr. Wallace, let's just be very clear what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read some of the language from the proposed legislation.
Sure.
And this is the key statement. Mm-hmm. It says, quote, "It shall be an act of lawful defense if a person in any place that they have a right to be uses deadly force if he or she acted in the reasonable belief that an assailant was about to inflict great bodily injury or death." That's what the legislation says. So it all comes down to what I believe. I believe that a man approaching me on a dark street is going to hurt me, so I can shoot him down and avoid any kind of prosecution. That sounds like the Wild West to me.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, an act of lawful defense is very specific in Massachusetts. In a Massachusetts law, and the courts have recognized for quite some time what they sometimes refer to as escalating use of force. In other words, in Massachusetts, an act of lawful defense cannot be because I believe somebody's coming at me. And that's the key to reading that.
Still comes down to what I believe.
No, it doesn't. An act of
But then why does it say that in the legislation?
Because, you see, it's not being read correctly.
An act I'm just of reading the words.
Is a very specific term in Massachusetts law. Now, if you have belief that somebody's about to harm you, you do have the right to self-defense. But it cannot be because I thought this guy was going to punch me in the nose that I can draw a firearm and then shoot him down in the streets. That is not an act of lawful defense in Massachusetts. So what we are looking for is for protection, actually, for victims of violent crime, which is what this bill is all about.
But this would take away the standard that's existed for years, the idea that if you can safely retreat, you're obligated to do so. So why are we doing away with that? Where is the evidence that doing away with that standard and giving people the right to act on what they believe, what they fear, what might be a result of panic and emotion, is somehow going to make society a safer place to be?
Well, frankly, what we train everybody to do is if you can defuse a situation, you do so. And anybody who's a lawful gun owner in Massachusetts understands that if they draw a firearm, their life as they know it is over. So whether you have the duty to retreat, I'm not sure you have the duty to retreat, but I would certainly say common sense tells you to the retreat. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with this issue in Florida, although
but
we
this
don't
law
have
would
all the facts in Florida.
Right.
This gentleman apparently pursued, which is an absolute no-no. Once you pursue, you are not in a defensive situation.
Well, let's talk, though, about what's going on in Massachusetts. And I want to just talk about what John Timoney, the former chief of police in Miami, wrote in the New York Times about stand your ground laws. He called them a recipe for disaster. And he's not alone among law enforcement officials. So these are the good guys. These are the police trying to protect us. And it seems to me that legislation like this that you're sponsoring, you're on the other side. You're on the other side of what these good guys are trying to do to protect us.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, one of the reasons that this bill is so important is that the police cannot be everywhere at every time, and that's not their job to be everywhere at any time. So it's absolutely a citizen's right to defend themselves. The issue here is whether we're going to prosecute people who are put in a position of no way out, and that's exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Wild West at all. Matter of fact, in Massachusetts, I mean, how many permit holders do we have here? 250,000? And how many times have you heard of a Wild West situation in Massachusetts? You simply don't.
Well, that's because this law isn't on the books. One could argue that that's because this law isn't on the books. The concern that I would have is that if you've got 250,000 people with guns who haven't been trained the way police, for example, have been trained, a police officer has to account for every single bullet he shoots, whether it's justified or not. And this is a law that would allow people to shoot and then not be prosecuted for it. It's 250,000 people with guns not being prosecuted for whenever they fear for their lives?
Only if it's an act of lawful defense. That's the bottom line. If it's not an act of lawful defense, then they can be arrested and they can be prosecuted.
Well, let me go back to one thing that John Timoney, the former Miami police chief, said. Trying to control shootings by members of a well-trained and disciplined police department is a daunting enough task. Laws like Stand Your Ground give citizens unfettered power, and he called it a recipe for disaster. And he also points out that in Florida, since that law was passed in 2005, homicides that have been ruled justifiable have nearly tripled. Is that a good outcome in your view?
Well, any time we lose a life, it's not a good outcome as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you have to look at the opposite. Was it a situation where those people would have been killed themselves? You know, you simply don't know unless the courts have looked at it. So justifiable homicides, if they were indeed saving a life, well, then they're justifiable. So whether they're tripled or doubled or halved, that's neither here nor there about the legislation. But it's also kind of scary to actually hear a police chief that he has to work extra hard to control his officers from shooting people.
Well, as we said, State Senator Stephen Brewer, the lead sponsor, declined to talk to us about this bill. We're grateful that you have agreed to do so. Let me ask you this. Senator Brewer says he's been trying to file this legislation for 5 years. It hasn't made it out of committee once. Do you have any reason to believe that this session will be any different?
You know, normally it takes legislation up here quite a while to get passed. I actually think it still has a very good chance. As a matter of fact, the attention that has been drawn to it and the differences from what people have been talking about gives us an opportunity to actually tell people what it's actually about. And the bill has had hearings twice before the Judiciary Committee, and no one has ever testified against it. So I think that stands well for what it actually does versus what some people are trying to say it does.
Well, Jim Wallace, thanks so much for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Anthony, thanks for having me on.
Jim Wallace is executive director of the Gun Owners Action League. He's a proponent of the so-called Common Defense Law. The key sponsor is State Senator Stephen Brewer from Barrie, who declined our request to talk to him about his proposed bill. Let us know what you think about Stephen Brewer's bill, about what you just heard, at RadioBoston.org.
Well, coming up, the facade of Boston's Episcopal Cathedral of St. Paul is finally being completed after 190 years. The new design, it might surprise you. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.